Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. Daytime highs approaching 84 with fog early today under sunny skies. Winds out of the south 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 52. Slight chance for storms. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 84, mainly sunny. High of 88 Sunday under sunny skies. 93 Monday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Kansas Information Network News. I'm Karen Johnson. A bridge close to downtown Topeka will be closed for at least 3 months, Roxanne Stewart reports.
Work crews are scheduled to start construction on the almost $825,000 Branner Bridge project starting Monday. Branner Street from Southeast 3rd Street to around 260 feet north of Northeast Atchison Avenue will be closed. Roadway pavement, approach slabs, abutment, and pier expansion joints will be replaced, and there'll be marked detours. For more information, go to topekametro.org.
Botanica, the Wichita Gardens, is launching the Reclaimed Water Project, a groundbreaking initiative aimed at conserving water while maintaining its 20-acre gardens. Kansas is currently facing drought conditions. In response, city engineers have found a way to capture test water from the new Wichita Water Works facility to be used by Botanica. This is Kansas Information Network News.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
After spending years in foster care, Lexi worried that she and her brother were too old to be adopted. Thankfully, the siblings were adopted, with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I love teenagers. To see how brave Lexi was and how she opened herself up to being in a family, all of a sudden, she's holding my hand and calling me Mom. It was really special.
Every child, no matter their age, deserves to grow up in a safe, permanent home.
Children at every age experience challenges. Teenagers are more complex than young children, but in the best ways.
You're never too old for family. Learn how you can help children still waiting to be adopted from foster care at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Good afternoon, I'm Natalie Hatley with your KQNK News, brought to you by the Norton County Hospital, providing the best care right here at home. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, or USDA, recently announced several Conservation Reserve Programs, or CRP, enrollment opportunities for agricultural producers and landowners, with the USDA's Farm Service Agency, or FSA, accepting offers for both the general and continuous CRP now through June 6th. For the general CRP sign-up, agricultural producers and landowners will submit offers for general CRP through a competitive bid process. Offers are ranked and scored by FSA using nationally established environmental benefits criteria, and the USDA will announce the accepted offers once ranking and scoring for all of the offers is completed. In addition to annual rental payments, approved general CRP participants may also be eligible for cost share assistance to establish long-term resource-conserving vegetative cover. For the continuous CRP sign-up, unlike general CRP, continuous CRP offers are not subject to a competitive bid process. To ensure enrolled acres do not exceed the current statutory cap of 27 million acres, the Farm Service Agency is accepting continuous CRP offers on a first-come, first-served basis through June 6th. However, should allotted CRP acreage remain available following the June 6th deadline, the FSA will accept continuous CRP offers from interested landowners through July 31, 2025, and may be subsequently considered for acceptance in batches if it's determined that the offered acres support the USDA's conservation priorities. Continuous CRP participants voluntarily offer environmentally sensitive lands, typically smaller parcels than offered through general CRP, that includes wetlands, riparian buffers, and varying wildlife habitats. And in return, they receive annual rental payments and cost share assistance to establish long-term, resource-conserving vegetative cover. For more information on CRP participant and land eligibility, approved conservation practices, and detailed program fact sheets, you can visit the FSA's website at fsa.usda.gov. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach announced that a federal judge has granted the state of Kansas's motion to remand its false advertising lawsuit against Pfizer Incorporated back to state court. Kobach said this victory is the first step in bringing justice to the Kansans who were misled by the false statements made by Pfizer regarding the health risks of its COVID vaccine. The case will now proceed in state court, which is where a claim under the Kansas Consumer Protection Act belongs, according to Kobach. In June of 2024, Attorney General Kobach filed a suit against Pfizer Incorporated in Thomas County, Kansas, for violations of the Kansas Consumer Protection Act related to its claims of vaccine efficacy, safety, and particularly claims that its vaccine was safe for pregnant women and posed no risk of myocarditis or pericarditis. Despite this being a question of state law filed in state court, Pfizer attempted to postpone and frustrate the Attorney General's enforcement action by taking the case out of state court and moving it to federal court. Judge Crabtree of the U.S. District Court for the District of Kansas brought an end to Pfizer's delaying tactic and ordered that the matter be returned to state court, where enforcement of Kansas consumer protection law can once again move forward. The Attorney General's complaint alleged internal studies at Pfizer showed the potential for adverse effects of the COVID-19 vaccine, while the company publicly marketed the vaccine as safe and effective. The Kansas Department of Health and Environment and the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks are reminding everyone of the harmful algae bloom season, saying a harmful algae bloom may look like foam, scum, or paint floating on the water and be colored blue, bright green, brown, or red, and blooms can develop rapidly. If you do observe a scum or paint-like surface on the water, small floating blue-green clumps or filaments in the water, or if the water is an opaque green, avoid contact and keep your pets away, as these are indications that a harmful bloom may be present. And pet owners should be aware that animals that swim in or drink water affected by a harmful algae bloom, or who eat dried algae along the shore, may become seriously ill or die. For more information on blue-green algae and reporting potential harmful algae blooms, you can visit kdhe.ks.gov/hab. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Did you know that Norton County Hospital is committed to making healthcare more affordable? We offer a wide range of financial assistance options tailored to your needs, from prompt payment discounts to flexible in-house payment plans and financial assistance, even loans through Epic River Lending. Best of all, you can apply in under 30 minutes. Whatever your situation, we have solutions. Call Kelsey today at 785-874-2220 to learn more and get started.
Included in the unofficial minutes of the Norton City Council meeting that was held on May 21st, the Norton City Council met in regular session at 5:30 p.m. with Council President Gerald Jones presiding, and the council members present were Del Jacobson, Andrew Black, Jim Miller, and Jason Jones, along with others to present business or observe. A motion was made by Del Jacobson and seconded by Andrew Black to approve the May 7, 2025 City Council meeting minutes, and the motion carried, and there were 6 building and demolition permits presented for approval. Gerald Jones reported on old business, stating that the impound lot fencing, lighting, and signage is waiting to be completed, and now that school is out, the Woods Drive speed bump project can begin. City Administrator James Maru stated that they have it scheduled to be done in the next couple of weeks. Jason Jones reported that in regard to the council room camera, James stated he's still working on having it put up to test at a committee meeting. Jason also stated that Dale would provide an update on the mowing and trimming of city properties in his Parks Committee meeting report, with James stating that the vacant lots on South 2nd were mowed on the 21st. James reported that the water sewer plant is one employee short, and the city has the opportunity to have a student worker from the school through their work program. At this time, there are 2 students interested in a summer intern position, and James stated that he would need approval to hire a summer intern for the water sewer plant. A motion was made by Del Jacobson and seconded by Jim Miller to approve the hiring of a summer employee for the water sewer department. The vote was taken and the motion carried. Gerald Jones reported at the last Public Safety Committee meeting that they discussed the location of the birdhouse siren, and according to the updated siren coverage map, after the placement of the new 10-volt siren, there's an area a bit north of Armory Drive not covered. A motion was made by Gerald Jones and seconded by Dale Jacobson to have the city's electrical department install the birdhouse siren in the vicinity of Armory Drive and State Street in order to provide coverage for the cemetery and airport areas. Gerald stated that they look to have it installed and operational on or about June 1, 2025. The vote was taken and the motion carried. Gerald then stated that he would like to refer the matter of purchasing an additional 10-volt siren for the southeast part of the city to the Finance Committee. The school zone lights on Highway 36 were also discussed, and Gerald stated that Logan, James, and Mitch were to meet and report back to the Public Safety Committee on various options to provide additional caution lights and signage in that area. Jim Miller then brought up the idea of moving one of the speeding radar signs during school to the school zone and having it flash school zone in order to save money. Gerald then discussed the power outage that occurred on May 13th. He said this outage showed the city's inability to function and provide critical services to the community, and after discussion, they arrived at the feasibility of an alternative power source. A motion was then made by Gerald Jones and seconded by Dale Jacobson to have the city electric department construct an alternate means of providing power to City Hall and the police and fire departments during partial power outages. The vote was taken and the motion carried. They also discussed, as a result of the power outage, was the ability to communicate with the community about what was occurring. Jason Jones stated that he would like to explore getting a mass notification system to be able to communicate with community, and James stated he's looking into this, and he's waiting on a quote from Civic Plus. Gerald then stated that the Public Safety Committee will also track this matter. I'm Natalie Hadley. Your KQNK News was brought to you by the Norton County Hospital. You can call the Norton County Hospital at 785-877-3351 for all of your health care needs.
Kansas Agriculture Network News.
Good day, everyone. I'm Greg Akagi. The Department of Government Efficiency gets a lot of criticism in the news, but what are they really doing and how might it impact agriculture? Washington Representative Dan Newhouse says it's worth watching, but he thinks it's doing some good things.
I just talked to Secretary Burgum from the Department of Interior. His interest is trying to match the workforce with the workload, seeing that we have people, literally the people in the field, to do the necessary work and maybe reduce some of the overhead and labor in Washington, D.C., and some of the offices that don't have as much face-to-face contact with producers.
And Newhouse says it won't be easy.
I think we can get there. I think it's going to take some time, though. We're losing some people in some of these agencies that bring a lot of experience and wisdom. But we're also looking at ways to make sure that those people that actually interface with the producers, those are the people that we're keeping in place.
But Newhouse says underlying all of this,
federal government, nobody would argue that it is not bloated. We have definitely some things that we have to do to make all agencies, all functions of the federal government more efficient.
But as a farmer, are you concerned?
As a producer, as a farmer, yes. I am very concerned that we, in our effort to be efficient, that I want to make sure we don't cut off our nose despite our face.
Those comments from Washington State Republican Dan Newhouse. And if you're hungry for some custard, June is National Dairy Month, and Culver's is celebrating the nation's hardworking dairy farmers in a way only small-town Wisconsin-born brand can, by giving farmers fresh, free frozen custard throughout the month of June. They offer dairy farmers a free scoop of fresh frozen custard with their online order. Make sure you use the code DairyGood at checkout. This is the Kansas Ag Network.
The 29th Annual Country Stampede Party in the Heartland is the summer's biggest concert and camping event. Kansas Ag Network has your hookup for this three-day music and fun experience. June 26th through the 28th at the Azura Amphitheater in Bonner Springs, Kansas. Don't miss Luke Bryan.
Yeah, that's my kind of night.
Miranda Lambert.
She's in it all.
Swindell.
It's Carolina, tells California, maybe she'd fall for a boy from
South Georgia. She's got the bar in the palm of her hand.
Also featuring Ashley McBride, Dylan Scott, Shenandoah, Drew Baldridge, Ray Lynn, Larry Fleet, and many more. Go to CountryStampede.com for all the details. Party in the Heartland with the Kansas Ag Network and the 29th Annual Country Stampede. Kansas Agriculture Network Weather.
I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on the Kansas Agriculture Network. Well, it does look like nearly an average forecast across the state of Kansas for today. Highs getting up around about the low to mid 80s for the western half of the state, lingering in the mid to upper 70s for the eastern half. It looks like we should normally be around about the mid to lower 80s across the entire state for today. So we've been slightly below average for the eastern part of Kansas, but overall not too far from where we should be. A high pressure system is in control just to the south of us, while a low pressure system to the north brings in a warm front for much of the central plains and upper Midwest. So we'll be seeing that temperature profile warming slightly for this afternoon, but not overall too much above where we should be. It also looks like that high pressure system will keep out the cloud cover, so sunshine across the state with no chances for rain showers as well. Then for tonight, it looks like we can expect to see overnight lows in the 50s across the state. Also looking at a dry forecast with partly cloudy skies through the overnight. By Saturday, a warm front starts to push through here from Utah, and with that, we'll see temperatures warming into the 80s for the entire state. The warmest spots looking to be the eastern parts of the state, getting us into the upper 80s there. We're expecting to have also a slight chance for some showers and thunderstorms for the northern portions of the state during the morning and early afternoon hours, with a mixture of clouds and sunshine developing. Then by Saturday night, a chance for some showers and thunderstorms for the southern and eastern part of the state. It also looks like a marginal risk for severe weather for the south central and southeastern portions of Kansas, primarily tomorrow night. Once we get to Sunday, a high pressure system settles in, again lingering in the 80s across the state. Mostly sunny skies expected as well. Then Monday, even warmer as a warm front pushes through. This is the Kansas Ag Network.